Welcome to the Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine Ingram, and we are the co-founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
The purpose of our ministry is to encourage people to get out with God so that they can heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 19 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. Again, before we get started, I'd like to point you to the descriptions below, where you'll find two links, one to our companion download, which goes into a little bit more depth of what we're talking about today, and then the second link will be to our Lenten calendar, which will have all 40 days of the Lenten daily scriptures with links that lead you directly to the scriptures online. So with that covered, my beautiful lioness, how about you read our daily scripture today?
Sure, and we're back over in Romans, your favorite book, or one of your favorite books.
Yes.
So this is Romans 6:11 through 13 from the NAV version. And it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, I love Romans. It's like Paul's comprehensive
manual
on Christianity. Start to finish.
With a lot of details.
A lot of details, and you know, there's a whole lot of confusion surrounding it too. Because if you're reading it from an Old Testament perspective, you see in there a lot of do and don't.
Mm.
And that's a hard thing to overcome, to begin to see it through the lens of the New Covenant and the New Testament. As not do, and then God will love you.
Yeah. I know. I mean, like I said before I met you, that's what I knew. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You mean I can just love God and have to like do all those things? He can just love me back? And knowing that as that curtain was torn, as Christ hung his head and said, "Tetelestai," it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, we were done with the curse.
That's right. It was
ingrained in our, you know, like that strand in our DNA was broken.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you look at it, our perspective. Everything is a surprise to us because we look at it from our timeline. Everything's a surprise. Everything's brand new. And when we screw up, it's like a shock or a surprise to us. And we're like, oh my gosh, I did it again. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Or, you know, we're locked into our timeline. So we assume that God is. But God's not. He knew everything that we were going to do before we ever did it.
He's like, watch this, Jesus. Look what they're going to do. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't look. Don't look.
You really don't
want to see them make
like
such
wreck.
This is a train wreck going to happen right here.
And I tried. I tried to like, and no, it's got to happen so that I can use that to make good out of the brokenness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he doesn't cause those things to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
But we have free will.
Yeah. And he knew our fallen nature and our fallen minds were going to lead us to do those things. And he took care of it all through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
At that one moment, he laid on Jesus the sin of the entire world. Start to finish. Beginning to end.
Mm.
And nothing was missed up. So it's an important perspective to remember, because if God has called you, He did it knowing all those things, and He still called you, and He still called you to Himself.
And now we just have that one responsibility to try to stay out of evil, try to avoid letting the enemy come in, letting the enemy persuade us in. And the way that we do that is staying close to God.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a kid, you know, I just had this vision. It's like, you know, did you ever hide under the clothes racks, you know, when you were shopping with your mom?
At the grocery stores?
Or the grocery store, or the clothes racks. You like hide them, and your mom is panicked, like, oh my gosh, where did Richard go? Where did he go? Where did Christine go? Where did he go? Where did she go? And I think that moment, so many things could happen. I mean, especially in today's days, not back then, but Someone could grab you and take you. But if you're close by your dad or your mom, but if you're close by that father, by God, then He can protect you. But if you're hiding and off doing things, it's not that He doesn't know that it happens, but that enemy comes in and just starts talking and going, here, I have something. I have an apple for you. And it happens so quickly.
Yeah, and Paul is just giving us here some pointers to keep us away from that stuff that is going to just hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a parent, you don't discipline your kids when they get their hand near the fire because you're being mean to them,
mm-hmm.
or you want to ruin their fun. You're doing it because you know it's going to hurt them.
Sure.
Right? And you say, no, don't do that. It's hot. Right? Of course, God is telling us that He knows how He designed us, and He knows the things that are good for us and the things that are going to harm us.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that He told us, hey, don't do those things, it's because it's going to hurt us, and it's going to lead us down a path that's going to cause destruction and hurt and heartache and all of those things that He doesn't want that for His kids.
Sure. And then listening to Him saying, you know, surround yourself by those that are like-minded, you know, that will spur you on. And I know we have that other scripture. Do you want me to read the other scripture?
Oh, in the Daily Download. Yes.
Yeah.
There's Hebrews,
so,
right?
Yeah. So we shared Hebrews 10:24 through 25 from the NIV version. And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but in encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I know when I hang out with you, I feel better in those moments when it may be a dark day, you can cheer me up and remind me of how great God is when I may be doubting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because the enemy is going to sneak in and make it worse. And you're like, no, don't do that. Here's the four words.
Yes, the four words.
Yeah. You want to share those? So
put your flesh away.
When I start to doubt myself, I'm like, oh, I'm horrible. I'm not worthy. I'm not equipped. All those things. And my wonderful husband just holds up four fingers. I'm like, ah, you're right. That's the enemy speaking. That's
it
not
is.
Anything
and
else. So.
He's speaking through our flesh and trying to get us out of the spirit and get us away from the truth. And the truth has said, or God, who is the truth, has said, you are equipped. I have equipped you. You are good enough. I have called you, and I have given you this ministry, so do it.
Yeah, move.
Move.
I'm standing there being a victim.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's so easy to start doubting, and that enemy just sits there, and no, you're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
No, you totally stink at that. You don't know how to do that. You've never done that before. Why would God call you? What makes you better than that person? And then you start comparing. You know, you start going down that comparison route, like, oh, yeah, that's right. That person, you know, like I say, I don't feel like I'm a good prayer out louder, and you'll hold up those four fingers. but it's something that's kind of new to me. But then I'll start comparing, going, oh, I really like how that person, I wish I could do that. And it's not I'm not envious of them, but I start to doubt that I can do it like them. And I shouldn't be doing it like them. I should be doing it like Christine. Mm-hmm. The lioness does it, not someone else. So,
and this is what Paul is saying here, really, in this scripture. He's giving us pointers on how to put away our flesh. In the same way, he's saying, in the same way that Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That's how you, one of the tools that you can use to put the enemy's temptations to bed. Mm-hmm. Or kick him out the door. And he's saying, don't let the sin reign in your mortal body, because once she gets a little foothold in there, then it just grabs a hold and just drags you down as far as he wants you to.
And we shared those, what do we have, 4 tips in there. We said this: the way to stay closer to God and stay away from those temptations is draw closer to him, spending time with him, whether we like to do that out in the wilderness, and whatever your wilderness is to you, away from the noise, spending time with him, staying in the word. I just read, it was a statistic today about how many people are moving away from the word, and they're doing all these other things that are Christian-like, but they're not actually getting into the word. And it just talked about how important it is to remain in that word. Even if you're doing fellowship and you're doing worship and you're doing all these things, you still need to stay in the word and grounded to the word.
Yeah. The last statistic that I heard was 2%. 2% people that claim to be believers or Christians in this country, 2% read their Bible on a regular basis.
Wow.
Every day. Only 2%. That's out of a group of 100 people, 2. Mm. And it's no wonder that we're having so many problems even in the church, because the truth is the word of God.
Sure.
And that's our lifeline. That is how we stay connected with the Lord and start infusing ourselves with all of the strength, all of the, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Mm. If you're struggling in your faith, the answer is get into the word of God. That's your answer. Because that's how faith comes, is when you start hearing the Lord after reading through the word, and he's able to communicate with you on those things that you read. So it's...
And then that last item to go along with that, communicate with you, mm-hmm. is praying often and sharing your heart with him so then he can respond. So that kind of goes right in hand with that, like in the word, but then... And spending that time with him and talking to him.
And that's one of the things that I never really understood growing up, because I was in a fairly religious mindset, as you know, and I was taught a lot that you had a prayer closet that you would go into to pray. Yeah. And that was, you had to have your daily prayer time, or, you know, you had to go into your closet to pray. And what I learned is it says to pray unceasingly. Yeah, like Nehemiah.
Like Nehemiah. Just think of Nehemiah. Okay, I got to pray. Like every, in that scripture, and we're going to have to do that scripture. every moment, they're like, and he prayed. And he prayed. Yeah. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he was the mere cupbearer to the king, and he prayed. He was worthy and equipped.
And what a perfect example of what we're talking about. Yeah. When you know you're not equipped and you don't have the answers, how do you get the answers?
You go to God.
You go to God.
And whether that's through prayer, or I know some people might be confused because we throw those words around the same way, where prayer and meditation, where meditation is actually that quiet time where prayer is. So there's a difference there. And both of them are equally.
I would say that prayer is a conversation. Mm-hmm. And meditation
is a listening.
Is a listening.
Listening.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Christian meditation, so there's
absolutely,
there's other types. But I love meditation because I like to fill the space with noise because I'm not comfortable in silence. So it gives me that opportunity to be silent and to listen. So I think there's a lot of times where God's like, hello, shh. And you know what? He wakes me up at 3:33.
Do you know what his first lesson was? Pairing you up with an introvert.
I know. Oh,
who is absolutely not uncomfortable at all with silence.
And God's like, okay, see, the only time she's okay. Quiet. Only time she's quiet is at 3 in the morning. So I'm going to wake her up then. So there's that. So if you get woken up often, it may be a sign that there's no other time for that. He feels like you could hear him.
That you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why out in the wilderness is good for me.
Well, yes. And the thing that being out in the wilderness does as well is two other things is you're surrounded by God's beauty. Mm. And when you look at it, it doesn't distract you from him. It encourages you more to be with him.
Sure.
But then it separates you from the distractions of life. Most of the time, if you're out in the wilderness, you don't have cell service. You're not on your phone. You're having notifications come through. You're not tempted to go on social media and all of those other things that are distracting. So there's that
clutter in your brain.
There's that cool balance, and that's why we like it.
Well, and then for those sciencey people, the symbiotic relationship between the trees need our carbon dioxide and we need their oxygen. So there's that amazing. Again, that's God created that. He knew. Okay, get out there.
You know what? I like to refer to God as the master dynamic artist.
Yes.
Because it's artistry, it's art that moves and changes, and it's always different. Mm-hmm. You can go to the same place two different times, and it's different. Things change. If you're noticing, if you're paying attention.
Yep. It's good. So we could go on for days.
Mm-hmm.
Want to pray us out?
Sure.
I would love for that.
All right. Join with us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Son, who was so willing, because you sent him, to come here to join us in our sin, in our sinful state, and take that sin with him to the grave so that we didn't have to pay that price. We thank you, Father God, that through his death, that every sin, every failure, all of the shame, all of the sickness, all of the weaknesses were taken into that grave with him. And when he left and he rose again, that he left them all there. So, Father God, we just thank you so much that because of your great love for us, that you gave us a way to live life free. Free from that curse and free to be in relationship with you. Help us, Father God, to learn to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and completely sold out to helping you fulfill the mission that you've called us to. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much. Just draw us closer to yourself each and every day. Help us to learn to hear your voice. Lead us into areas that are free from distraction so that we can just spend time loving on and receiving your love. Call out to us, Father, each day and remind us that you're there and you're desiring to just have fellowship with us so that we talk to you continuously all day long, that we bring you into our daily lives each and every moment, knowing that you care about the littlest things that are going on in our life. We thank you, Father God, for that unfathomable love that you have. Reveal it more and more and more to us each day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Mm.
Should we leave him with some perfect peace?
Yes. Shalom, shalom. We will see you next time.